This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. You just heard a video created by the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists. And as you heard, the Panama Papers have implicated wealthy elites in all sorts of political shenanigans, from the Syria war to Uganda. We go now to United Kingdom, where British Prime Minister David Cameron's own father has been implicated. According to the Guardian newspaper, David Cameron's father took detailed legal advice about the pros and cons of different tax havens before the fund he had helped set up was transferred to Ireland. My guest is Liz Nelson. She's the Director of Partnership and Operations at the UK-based Tax Justice Network. Welcome to the show, Liz.
Hello, Sonali. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, this is such a huge, huge story, and I think we're not really going to understand the full implications of it for a long time as journalists, you know, just release one piece of information at a time. First of all, how do you explain for our audience how this whole story even came about? Because 11.5 million documents released from this company in Panama, working in Panama, law firm, and hundreds of journalists working to sift through these documents, this just by itself must have been a huge organizational effort.
Yes, I think it was. The process was something along these lines. I think two journalists actually came across some of the material and began looking through it, and went to one of the German newspapers, looked, and together they realized, and certainly the German media then realized, what a huge find this was in terms of data around financial irregularities and lack of transparency and the offshore world. And I think from that point, they realized as well that it was across the globe a multi-jurisdictional issue, and the data related to many different countries. So what they did is brought together around 100 or so media organizations and worked with the ICIJ, who owned the data, and began mining that data over a long period of time. So it was a huge, huge effort, and probably one of the biggest leaks of modern times.
And again, the ICIJ is the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists. Now, tell us about your organization, the Tax Justice Network, and how your organization has been working for years to expose these kinds of efforts that wealthy elites use to hide their money offshore.
Sure. So Tax Justice Network is a tiny organization in terms of number of people who works for it, but it has a huge and global kind of support. From 2003, one or two people, including our founder, John Christensen, met with others, concerned academics, activists, professionals, including lawyers and accountants, who are concerned about the use of offshore havens, about the lack of financial transparency, about the corruption that was, if you like, facilitated by the offshore world, and has gradually worked with different academic institutions, with activist groups, with advocates of both human rights and tax justice, and gradually brought this issue to the attention with using and working with the media, brought it to the attention of the public, both in the UK, in Europe, and throughout the world.
And how, for example, in the UK itself, is this issue being seen? I mentioned David Cameron's own father, Ian Cameron, being implicated. Essentially, he went jurisdiction shopping, is what one article put it, to find the best place to hide his money. How is this being seen in the UK?
Well, I think it's, I think on one level, there's a, so we're not all in this together, an anger and a disappointment. While on the one hand, which is an experience I think other countries are having, on the one hand, the British public are being asked to tighten their belts, to let go of certain kind of social services, public services. They see their health provision and health service being dismantled. The education system feels like it's under attack. And the root cause of this is really both a political ideology, but also a lack of resources. And for every pound or every dollar that is moved offshore by the likes of, in the sort of systems and vehicles that Ian Cameron used, for every dollar or pound that's lost, that's $1 or pound that's not going to the education system, to childcare services, to health services. So I think there's a huge amount of anger about this. And sadly, it's, with the various kind of LuxLeaks, with the Google, Starbucks, Apple revelations about their tax that hasn't been paid or low level of tax being paid. I think it just adds to that and fuels that anger about, there's one rule for the elite, the wealthy, the politicians at a high level, and there's another rule for the rest of us.
Now, we've known, though, for years that wealthy elites hide their money offshore. This is not a big secret, right? What about the papers from Mossack Fonseca reveal something that wasn't known before? Is it just that now we have details, like concrete evidence of how loopholes are being taken advantage of?
Well, we have known this before. I think that the ironic thing is the issue here is about the lack of transparency and the offshore world and the network of tax havens throughout the world operate on the basis of secrecy. So it is very difficult to identify data or be exact about the amount of capital that's flowing through these and away from countries in these tax havens. So, it's been difficult to analyze. But the leak here, this major leak, shows that with millions and millions of papers have revealed and continue to reveal that very high profile people, politicians, business people, elites around the world are using tax havens to avoid tax, to launder corrupt money. We should be very clear that tax avoidance is not illegal. But there is a real question about its the legitimacy of it, what it does to democracy, how it impacts on the equality in the world, and more importantly, the rule of law.
Right, and I'm so glad you brought up this issue. Technically, the moving of money into these offshore accounts is not illegal because the people who've been writing the rules and writing in these loopholes are the very people taking advantage of it. But what is being exposed now is the lack of ethics, that a lot of these heads of state are saying one thing to their people and doing quite another thing themselves on the sly. It's not just these nameless, faceless corporate elites, but political heads of state as well, which I think was one of the biggest surprises, that so many heads of state, so many politicians, so many elected officials have been implicated in this, right?
That's absolutely right. We've seen the Prime Minister of Iceland, concerns, obviously, David Cameron, Prime Minister of UK, is trying to deflect criticism. We see in Nigeria that there's criticism and a growing anger about their prime minister and his wife. So I think, the public understands very well. They understand that when people are setting up offshore structures, offshore companies or offshore trusts in jurisdictions like Panama, but also in the Cayman Islands, Bermuda, in the British Virgin Islands, the public understands very well, and they think that it's most likely that something illegal or corrupt is happening when there seems to be some necessity to set up structures and companies offshore.
And so what needs to happen? I mean, in your country, in the United Kingdom, there was a poll that I saw that the majority of of people in the UK would like the government to do something about this. I mean, if indeed it has been made legal for people to hide their money offshore, then is it now time to make it illegal?
Yes, well, there is there are a number of things that that the governments could do, and certainly there are things that they could do to bring in legislation and changes in policy. And so some of the things that we've been campaigning on for the last 10 years plus, and similar other civil society organisations, is for it be to be a legal requirement for companies, the beneficial ownership of companies, to be in the public domain, to be on a public register, so that if companies are going to set up a company somewhere, we know exactly who the owner is, the beneficial ownership, not a kind of a director who's been brought in to just give their name to the company. Who is the actual beneficiary of that company? So yes, I think there's a legislation that can be brought in, both in terms of identifying who the beneficial ownership is, and having that on a public register where the public or the media can see what is happening exactly. I mean, there is a view, and is there any real reason to have tax havens? I mean, I think that's the question. What is the need? What is the need to have companies to hold the money offshore? The need is around avoiding tax.
I think that's exactly the main question. Exactly. The only reason to want to put your money offshore is to avoid paying taxes on it. The other thing that has come out in these Panama Papers, and we discussed it a little bit earlier with another guest that we had, was that the United States has emerged as a tax haven in almost similar vein to Panama, as well as states of Delaware and some other states are emerging as tax havens. But U.S., elites or elected officials have not yet been, in their names have not yet been revealed through the Panama Papers. What do you expect might happen around the United States with this leak?
Well, that's, yes. I mean, we certainly think there's and I'm sure there is over a period of time, more to come and more to more revelations, more names to be named, if you like. It's difficult to say, who or what will be named and what will be revealed. But yes, the U.S. has, while it does have offshore, a big offshore industry, and ironically, though, that offshore industry and laundering of dirty money and avoidance of tax is happening within federal states in Wyoming, in Delaware, in Nevada. So there, in a sense, there's no need for a lot of there's no need for political elites necessarily in the U.S. to go offshore into some of the tax havens we've heard about, like Panama, Bermuda, and so on, because they can, if you like, hide their money away, very secret U.S. states that I've mentioned. I think we have to kind of watch this space, but I'm sure there will be revelations further along the line.
And so, Liz, how does your organization, Tax Justice Network, planning on using the Panama Papers? Do you have any specific plan for how you're hoping to work with this material and information? I'm assuming at some point the journalists will release some kind of database that's going to be a searchable database of documents that organizations like yours can actually do something with.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm sure they will. I think, however, we to a degree have. I mean, this is such this presents such an existential crisis for some of the large banks that operate and provide these secrecy services. It's such a huge thing. I think we kind of almost know what we need to know and what we've understood to be the case for many years. So, you know, companies like Mossack Fonseca, other law firms, you know, we very much want to see greater regulation. We want a different sort of code of standards, or some code of standards that means that the banks and the network of banks that work across the global kind of network of tax havens are kind of cannot continue to behave like this. So although there will be more to come, I think for Tax Justice Network and colleagues that work with us within civil society, there's a real opportunity now to say, you know, supported by the public anger and by the media, to say, you know, enough is enough. You know, there's extreme inequality in this world at the moment. And people, you know, through austerity, through political kind of ideology, are suffering greatly. And it's not acceptable. And these sort of companies, these sort of law firms and the tax havens really need to clean up their act.
Yeah, and we should mention that this is just one of many law firms. I mean, most people had never even heard of the name Mossack Fonseca. I certainly hadn't. And this is just one of many, many law firms around the world that are operating and wondering, you know, guessing that at this very moment they're probably improving their security, you know, to make sure that they don't experience similar leaks. Well, Liz, I want to thank you so much for joining us. Do you have a website that you'd like to give out so people can find out more about your organization?
Yes, I'd love to. Yes. So www.taxjustice.net.
And we'll post a link to that from our website later today, www.taxjustice.net. Liz Nelson, thank you so much and best of luck to you.
Thank you very much.
My guest is Liz Nelson. She is the Director of Partnership and Operations at the UK-based Tax Justice Network. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can not just listen to all of our interviews, but also watch them as we're videotaping every single interview that we're doing now. Again, that's risingupwithsonali.com.